This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your cachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of cachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
Hey everyone, today's episode is brought to you by our incredible sponsors that help make this show happen.
The Outdoor Podcast is proudly brought to you by XOP Outdoors, Carbon Express, Block Targets, Moultrie, Gas Bowstrings, and Burris Optics, produced by Bowhunter Planet. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of our outdoor heritage.
Grab your favorite bow, your pack, your chair, and let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. Tim and Dave tonight. Alongside of us, though, a special guest. Actually, kind of excited to have him on here. Trey Reed. Trey has an amazing podcast called the Dreaded Archer Podcast. We wanted to kind of have you on, showcase what you're doing out there, man. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. And really, what we wanted to do is kind of start off with Dreaded Archer Podcast. How you got into archery? Give us your background.
Well, first I want to say, you know, thank you guys for having me on. I watch y'all show all the time, and I was like, man, one day I'm going to get on that Joker. So
You got it. I love it, man. Love it.
Oh, yeah. But what got me into archery, man, is I tell a lot of people this. It was depression. When I graduated college and, you know, got done playing football, there was no NFL for me. So it was, you know, be like everybody else and go join the workforce. And I ended up getting a job with RJ Reynolds. And they moved me to South Dakota, and, you know, moving from Texas to South Dakota in the middle of winter, no family.
Oof, rough.
Yeah. I was just, I got real depressed. So started drinking, going out, and ended up gaining like 50 pounds. And it was like real bad. And the lady I was dating at the time, she was like, yo, you should, like, we got to do something, get you out the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every morning when I would head to work, I would pass this sign. It was like a rickety sign that said archery shop. And it pointed down a dirt road. And I had never been into an archery shop. So like that particular Saturday, I was like, let's go to this archery shop that, you know, I've always driven by. So we walk in, the owner's there. He's just kind of chilling out. So we start talking and he goes, you ever shot a bow? I'm like, no, not at all. So he gives me a Mission hammer and gets me out on the range. And I shot that first arrow and it was like, it sparked something in me. I'm like, ooh, I like that. And so we walked into that shop at like 12 o'clock that afternoon, and I shot that bow to like 6:30.
Dude, that's awesome.
And I was like, yo, I want to buy a bow. So I ended up buying not that Mission hammer, but another one. And from that day on until the day that I moved from South Dakota, I was in that shop every single day shooting. And it was one day where somebody asked me like, hey, are you going to hunt with that? And I was like, you can hunt with this? And they was like, yeah.
So love
I was
it.
Like, yeah, I guess so. So he walked me, taught me how to get a tag and everything. And I just kind of wandered out into the woods and sat like by a tree. Didn't get nothing that first time. But then I found out about a ground blind. So I got a ground blind, listened to a podcast about knocking on doors. So
yeah.
I went and got some like honey and like some canned peaches. I went to this lady's house in South Dakota, like knocked on the door And I was like, hey, my name is Trey. I'm new to hunting. You got some land that I saw some deer on. You care if I hunt it? And she's like, no, go ahead. Go out there.
That's awesome, man.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I was like, sweet. Because you know, you hear on these podcasts, like, it's very rare that people will say yes.
Yeah.
Go and do it. So I set my ground blind up, hadn't scouted this land at all, just kind of drove by and saw some deer in the field. And that afternoon, like at 3 o'clock, this doe walked by and I just like let her have it. And I just lost everything, lost my shit.
And yeah.
Fell in love with archery.
Got that deer fever, did you?
Oh my goodness. It was bad. It was so bad. I put a clip out the other day. Like when I shot my first deer, I was shaking so bad. The only thing I could do was grab a honey bun that I had in my bag and it like calmed me down.
Love it, dude. I still get that, man. Like even this year, like, and I've had zero success. You want to talk about depression? We can talk about my hunting experience this year. but well, I was sitting there and I did have a deer come in earlier in the year, and it's always the first one. The first one walks out and like my heart starts pumping. Like, yep. I can feel it, you know? And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to keep steady with this. And then I settle down and then we're all good. But I got to get through that first one.
I don't know if it was the first time you went hunting, but it was definitely in the first year or two. And I remember us going out and you were hungover and you're in that ground blind. You're throwing up.
My God. I wasn't up. Even in
and, a ground. And a guy blind. Came over. He's like, did you hear that? And Tim's like, I don't know. What'd you hear? He goes, there's like an animal out here making loud noises. And he's like,
so the story goes like this, just real quick. The story goes like this. So it was one of my first, I remember it was my first time or not, but we were at a hunt camp. You and I ended up staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, we sat down next to the campfire with some beers, and all of a sudden we look over our shoulder and our buddy's getting out of the camper
with his gear on.
With his gear on, we're like, what are you doing? He's like, dude, it's like 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, we're going hunting. We look at each other like, are you kidding me? Like, we had no clue we had been out there all night. So I think we went to sleep for like an hour or two, got up. I was hung over like crazy. I sat on a bucket, I think, in the middle of the woods.
I don't even know if you had a bow. I feel like you didn't even have a bow.
I don't even know if
I did. I'm pretty sure you just sat out there just to see.
Yeah, no, because I think I was out with you. You were like, I'm going to go sit for a little while. I'm like, I'll go with you, man. So I sat in the middle of the woods, and then I just started.
He started throwing up, and then some guys.
And then some guy comes out. He's like,
state land.
On state land. A guy comes out and he's like, at the same time he was walking up to me from the other direction, and another guy was coming. And the one guy is talking to the other guy. He's like, did you hear that?
Oh, is that what
happened? And I'm there, right? They're talking to me too. And I'm like, dude, I didn't hear anything. And the other guy's like, no, I heard it, man. I don't know what that was. I thought you fell out of a tree or something. I'm just sitting there going, don't throw up right now.
It's a damn Sasquatch or something.
No doubt, man.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, we talk about deer, you know, buck fever, deer fever or whatnot. This year, you know, Tim and I went for a while this year and we didn't really get much luck or didn't even see much during the late hours. And the last two nights I've been hunting locally here, and we have a local spot we can able like a little honey hole to go to. And I keep getting, you know, this is a different weird situation now. Now I'm getting like a doe come in with two babies and I'm like, I don't want to shoot that doe now. Like those babies aren't going to make it. There's a little buck and a little, you know, doe. And I'm thinking,
you're not pissed off enough yet.
Yeah. I'm not like in the mode yet where I got to get. And then, so yesterday, so I seen them before. And then yesterday they came out again. And at first I didn't see the babies. I was like, oh, this may be a different doe. You know, oh, I'm going to get ready. But I never got like, my heart wasn't pounding. I wasn't nervous by any means. And anyway, the two babies came running out. I'm like, oh, figures, it had to be her. But then she ran off and they all ran. And I thought, there's no way it was me. I'm in this like really nice blind that's quiet. And sure enough, here comes a buck. And I was like, oh, here we go. Now my heart started getting like, what is this? And it was a freaking 4-point. I was so mad. I'm like, and I don't get me wrong, I wanted to take it down, but it was just like, I feel like I have a lot more time.
Yeah.
I just don't need I don't need the meat that bad right at the second to shoot that guy. Because, you know, it's not that I have an issue with it. I rather try to go for something that, and the thing is, all of our friends, like, they're shooting really decent bucks in Michigan right now, which is crazy, but they're getting decent bucks. And then Tim and I go and we do see nice bucks, but they come in at 3 a.m. You know, it's just,
They're nighttime. Yep.
All right. Yeah. Back to you. Let's get back to the story here. Yeah.
But no, so that's a cool
way.
Tell me a little bit about the podcast, man. Like, how did the podcast come about?
So the podcast came about, it was like, I want to say it's during COVID. me and my brother, we had started our podcast, The Read, Talk, and Listen. And I started archery hunting, whatever. And he was like, yo, dude, you should like document your archery journey.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I can do that. So I had the Instagram going. And then I started thinking, like, I wonder, are there any other like former athletes that's dealing with this like depression? Because like I started really digging into like mental health and all that stuff. And I was like, I wonder, are there other former college athletes who, their career is over, and how are they dealing with depression? And maybe archery could be an outlet for them. So I started reaching out to different guys that I played with and played against in college. And a lot of them was kind of dealing with the same thing. Like, dude, I don't know what to do. My body is telling me that I should be getting ready for the season, but my mind knows there is no season coming.
Yeah.
So I would just like started like talking to these cats and like over the phone. And my brother goes, dude, you got to record those, because some of the stuff you're getting is like stuff people need to hear. And it just kind of, that's what it turned into, the Dread Archer podcast.
It is amazing. And I don't know, like, I don't know if it's like just the outdoors thing for me, being outdoors in general, like clears you mentally, or the archery thing, or both, or a combination. But there is something to say about getting out in the woods and sitting down and trying to harvest a deer that just frees you from like everything that you're dealing with.
Yeah. And not only that, you mentioned earlier, you wanted to create a lot of, you create the podcast as kind of like a mental thing too, like a thing for you to like, talk and just get out of like whatever depression you were in. And I feel like that is what we're doing right now, all three of us. That's the thing. Like, Tim came here, I could tell you stressed out from work. I could tell. And now he's already happy again, because he's talking about archery and outdoors. And I can already tell. And I personally, like I was telling him, like, I am super stressed out. This week has been one of the worst weeks, because it's launch week and all these companies send us stuff to do. Like, I saw you posted the other day, what's coming. I actually put I know on there. I don't know if you saw my comment, but I know. And I had the bow, like the Matthews bow. I had the, we Hoyt's a little bit slow right now to get, a lot of people don't have Hoyt's right now. So I actually went to Moore Archery. It's a local dealer. Today. They asked me to come film it there. I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. And I loved it. Actually, I had a good time. But I was saying in my video, I'm like, it's so weird filming in a pro shop, because it's like so big compared to our studio.
Yeah.
I mean, his shop, you can drop 60 yarders. I mean, it's nuts. And not just to mention that, you're actually filming in front of people, which is really weird, right? All these people are like looking like, what is this guy doing? it's kind of like, I'm just not used to filming in front of people. It's just me by myself or with Tim or our team, So it's just kind of a weird thing. But like, yeah, getting on the podcast, actually, I feel better already just being on this podcast.
It is, man. It's kind of like, the way I think about it is it's kind of like our mini hunt camp throughout the year, where we get together and just shoot the shit, if you will. Talk about whatever we want to talk about and clear our heads. But it's kind of cool that you walked into a dealer, because we talk a lot about dealers and the importance of dealers, right? And it's really kind of cool how you walked into a dealer and the guy that was there was just so open to like showing you what to do, how to do it, giving you an opportunity to shoot it. And that turned, that kind of gave you a pivot point in your life.
Oh yeah. Like that shop, it's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Archery Outfitters. Like, I wouldn't just like, I walked in as, just a wandering potential customer. And then I became like part of the family. Like, I started volunteering out there, and we started like cutting the grass and just hanging out. And then we
go
out.
That's cool, man.
I just became like part of the family. And Cam took me under his wing, and he's an old school grumpy guy. But like, his wife was like, I don't know, you like cut through all that. And he opens up and talks to you, and just I don't know, he's like a second dad to me.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome, man. So you said you had to move away from South Dakota.
Yeah.
Where are you at now? Are you back in Texas?
Yeah, right now I'm back in Texas, Texarkana, Texas, my hometown. So I was actually in a tree stand late December, and I got an email from home office saying, hey, we got a position back in Texarkana. Do you want it? And I had just got set up too, and I was like, I got to take this. So I got down, ran to my car, drove home. Told my fiance, like, hey, we're going back to Texas. And she was like, let's go.
That's cool. That's awesome. Man.
Now I regret it, because the hunting sucks. It's not like it was in South Dakota.
Yeah, I know. I know some people down there, and they lease property in Oklahoma.
Yep. Different kind of. Yep. Yeah, tell us about Texas a little bit, like the landscape, because when I hunted in Texas, it was like high fence stuff, like all like big ranches. And but I went with like a media thing. I didn't go like on my own. But they told me when I was there that like, yeah, this whole area is like, you know, ranches. You can't. Really, there's nowhere to hunt. It's all private. There's like African type animals there. It wasn't like just, you know, like native stuff. It was very interesting. But I guess like you go north in Texas, does it get to like actual hardwood or no?
So that's where I'm at. I'm in northeast Texas. So the town that I'm in is Texarkana. So we actually sit on the border of Texas and Arkansas. So you can be on one side of the road and you're in Texas and literally walk across the street and you're in Arkansas. So we got it's a lot of hard, like a lot of pines, a lot of oak flats, stuff like that. Do we hunt river bottoms, hunt close to the Red River? I mean, it's thick. So your furthest shot might be 30 yards if you're lucky.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Midwest deal, kind of like what we have up here in Michigan. I mean, we have 40-yard, 50-yard shot is a long shot.
Actually, I just read something today. Who was I talking to? Tim Wells or something? Tim Wells. I think it might have been Tim Wells, but we were talking today, and he said, we were talking about Michigan a little bit and something about the timber here. It's just so thick and vast.
Yeah.
It's really, I always challenge any hunter, especially the pros that call themselves pros, to come hunt Michigan. I'm like, you know, come hunt Michigan, hunt state land. Let me see how you do. Let's see the video.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't going to look like you see those Iowa bucks.
Same, man. Yeah, but no, you're right about the ranches. So I was in Texas over the summer and at work, and I was driving from Austin to Houston, and I don't remember the name of the place, but I'm driving and it's just high fence after high fence after high fence, miles and miles and miles. And all of a sudden I look over and I see a zebra. I'm like, what the hell? You know? And I'm like, so I look it up after I get to Houston, like what that place was. And it was, you know, it was a high fence, you know, type of deal. But I'm like, I never thought I'd be seeing a zebra driving through Texas.
I'll be honest with you guys. I never thought I'd like any sort of high fence, anything, but I had such a good time at that place. It was unbelievable, like exciting, fun, best food you can imagine, beers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just the coolest. It's hard to explain it. It's like you go into a resort. It's like I was at a resort is what it felt like, you know, and I all my memories are great. So I can't complain at all. Like I just thought, man, this is like one of the coolest testing grounds I've ever been on. Yeah.
So Trey, your hunting crew, like, do you have a hunting crew? Do you get your brother into archery? What is your hunt?
So I got my little brother into it. He anything that I do, he's all for it. He's like, let's get it. Let's go. Then I got one of my college roommates, Rex. He moved from LA to El Dorado, Arkansas. So we hunt all the time, duck hunt,
sweet,
like squirrel hunt, pretty much anything. If we can eat it, we gonna hunt it. So he rolls with me. And then I got my buddy Courtney, he's up in Kentucky, and then my buddy Rob, he's up in South Dakota, and that's pretty much my hunting crew right there.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's what it's all about, really. And you know, that's kind of a cool thing about what you're doing is not only talking about the mental aspect of it, but getting other people into hunting. I mean, that's a huge part of what we try to do every day is just bring archery to the public, right? And get people interested. And because it's kind of, I mean, once you get into it, like you said, like if you've never done it, try it. It's so freaking fun, man.
Go ahead.
I love it. And then like one thing with me is like, so like the community that I come from, like, it's rare you see, you know, a lot of archers, especially in like my hometown, like black archers. So like cats see me and they like, hey man, what's that archery shit you doing? And I'm like, oh, it's just shooting a bow, you know, hunting deer. Hey man, I'm gonna try that. So I got, you know, a couple acres on my property, and so they'll come out and some of my guys from high school or guys I played football with and stuff, and I got a couple extra bows and they'll shoot it and they're like, oh yeah, that's it right there. And then once they start hitting that bullseye, they're like, hey man, I need to know, like, how can I get one of these? And I'm like, let's go to archery shop.
Yeah.
I get them in it. And a lot of them, they don't end up hunting. They just like the target shooting part of it. But the ones that do enjoy it, like to the point where they start hunting, dude, now they going out and they're going to high fence farms. And around here, we got so many wild hogs. And I got I think every weekend he's shooting two or three hogs, and you know, he donates them, and but he just loves taking his bow out.
That's cool, man. That's a, I love that. That is I was gonna say, but you kind of already answered it. Like the people that you're getting into hunting, you got to get them to get their own property so that you can hunt that property. Like, listen, man, I got you into archery. Least you can do is let me hunt it. You know,
that still doesn't work for me. For years. So, yeah, my brother. It's too bad. It's too bad I met you guys up here and your brother. It's too bad you guys we didn't know each other a little better because you guys could have came here. It's like right here. It's like not too far from where we were.
Oh, I know, right?
That was like literally 20 minutes. That's right.
You guys came in.
Yeah, we sat right next to him. Me and TV Kevin. Event. Yeah,
Carbon TV event. Yeah, I wasn't able to make that. Yeah, that's cool.
They flew in from South Dakota at the time, and or your brother came from Texas, probably, right? And you came from South Dakota or something like that. Yeah,
very cool.
They flew all the way in for that. It was pretty good.
Yeah, that's
too
awesome.
Bad. Yeah, too bad it wasn't a different time of year too. Because man, that would have been nice to go turkey hunting or something while you're here. You know?
Oh yeah, I would have been down for it for sure.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
So I see that sign over your right shoulder there, reserved for South Dakota elk hunt.
Yeah,
or it's, elk mount. So never, that is that is I'll that the bucket list?
Thank you so much for sticking around and watching the Outdoor Podcast. We really appreciate you being here. One of the brands that really help us make this show possible is XOP. XOP is making amazing hunting stands like the New Roam, the Revolt, the Fly, the Superfly. They are making great products and they are selling out fast. So make sure you guys check out XOP today. Don't forget the new Hydros. This company is changing the game when it comes to tree stand hunting and getting outdoors. They also launched a new line of packs to check out when you guys get a minute. So there it is, guys, xopoutdoors.com. You will not be disappointed. These are some of the best, most well-engineered tree stands and products in the industry. Check them out.
Guys, I hope you're enjoying this great episode of the Outdoor Podcast. I want to take a quick break to say thank you to Carbon Express, one of the companies who helped keep this show going. Carbon Express offers a broad spectrum of arrow offerings, from budget beginner arrows to premium, high-performance hunting shafts with advanced carbon construction, spine control technologies. If you're serious about archery, hunting or competition, or just want quality gear, they're a strong choice when selecting an arrow. Some of my favorite arrows from Carbon Express are the Maxima Red, which is probably one of the most popular out there, but I am using the Photon today and I absolutely love it. But they do have a lot of different variety and can meet you pretty much anywhere across the spectrum of price. So check out Carbon Express today when you guys get a minute. And now back to the show.
Well, it was a bucket list. So, you know, in South Dakota, you got to be a resident in order to hunt elk. So this was my last attempt, because when I moved, I still had my South Dakota license. So I'm technically still a resident.
Yeah.
So I like burned all my points, still didn't draw. And so it was like, well, that's a wrap on that. Unless they do have this this raffle they do every year. It's called Hunt for Habitat. And if you're a non-resident, it's like a $20 raffle ticket. You can buy as many as you want. And if you draw, you can get an elk tag, an antelope tag, and any deer tag. And then you can pick which years you want to use it. But yeah.
That's so cool.
Unless I draw that, I'll never get my South Dakota elk.
Yeah, I got to admit, I kind of fell in love with South Dakota over the summer. That's where my family and I vacationed. We're campers, so we always go on a long 2-week camping trip with our camper, and we went out to South.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
South Dakota this year, spent like 3 or 4 days in the Badlands and then went over to the Black Hills for about a week or so. And my God, it's beautiful out there. I really didn't expect, like, I was there years and years ago, like back in, I'm going to date myself, back in like the late 80s, early 90s, when I was a kid, my parents took us to Yellowstone and we did all that stuff. So I was like, yeah, I've been there. It was, you know, it was cool. But I went, you know, this year, and I was so impressed with like the amount of wildlife and scenery and the vastness of what South Dakota is. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It's super nice. And but see, I lived on the east side. So I lived East River over in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
So that's like real like urban. But then you drive 6 hours and you cross the Missouri River and you get over into the hills. It's like, it looks like a different state. It's just so beautiful. You got the rolling hills and you got some spots where it's flat. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. And that's where I did all my hunting at, was out in West River, because East River is, the hunting is garbage.
Yeah, I did see an elk, but it was actually in Wyoming, right across the border in South Dakota on our way out to Devil's Tower. There is a young bull running through a field. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, man. Because we have, believe it or not, we have elk in Michigan. Super rare to see. Super rare. And it's a 20-year, I think it's probably almost a 20-year hunt. That's how long it takes to get the points to be able to draw.
I got about 13. I'm still pulling my number.
So it's like a once in a lifetime hunt for somebody in Michigan to be able to draw an elk tag and go and do that. But man, they're beautiful beasts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's how it is in South Dakota. It's a true lottery, because like I know guys that they got 30, 40 years preference points hadn't drawn. But then
really?
Yeah. And then like in 2022, I'll never forget this. 2022, we had a couple, they moved from, I want to say Alabama to Sioux Falls, and they were, you know, hunters, and they were like, yeah, we hear you guys got elk. And we're like, yeah, get in line. Like, you know, it's meant to get a tag. Well, the husband and the wife applied. The husband didn't draw, but the wife drew first time. And
oh my gosh.
Everybody at the archery shop was like bitter.
Oh, like, 100%. What? Yeah.
Like, what I'd is this? Pissed. And even like Kim, I want to say like 42 preference.
Oh,
like
my 42 gosh. Years.
You're kidding.
That's he insane. Was like,
it was a bitter moment, but we were all happy for it. But it was like, man, it sucks.
Yeah. No,
and this goes out and kills the raghorn. Like, didn't even take the full, you know, month long. Just went out first day, the first elk, you know, bull she saw, she, you know, put it down. I was like, why? Like, you had That's a whole crazy. Month. But, you know, she got her elk, so
yeah,
doing better than a lot of us are doing.
Yep, she got that tick mark. That's for sure.
I'll tell you one thing. One of the best hunts I ever did was a Canadian black bear hunt, and it was so much fun. And I recommend it to everybody. It wasn't even that expensive, realistically. I think it was like, at the time, 2015, it was like $1,000 without expenses, just for the, you know, tag and hunt.
And your tags, I think.
I think it was $1,000 without the tags, and then you had to get the tags, but. Either way, it was a blast, man. We went there with like, I would say 30 hunters, and out of all 30, 28 got a bear, and the other two could have got a bear. They chose to pass on the size of the bear. And so really I would say it's 100% at the time, it was 100% rate for, you know, getting one. But what a great experience, man. That was just I've never experienced the vast wilderness as I did in Northern Canada. I mean, it was just, I mean, no phone towers, no walkie talkies work, nothing. It was like I was on my own, and I had just my bear mace and my bow. That's all I could have legally.
Hey, that Canadian bear hunt, that's a bitter subject for me. Real
Uh-oh.
Bitter.
Uh-oh. Did you did you try to go?
I tried to go. I'm not going to call the guy's name out, because I ain't that petty. But in 2019, I was at the Sioux Falls Sportsman Show. Into this guy, and I mean, he cool setup based on the pictures and videos he showed me. So I bought a hunt from him, like, let's do it. Put my down payment down over the year. Like, oh, yeah, supposed to go in 2020, pay my money, we good. Well, then COVID.
Hits.
So
gosh.
He was like, yeah, man, you know, the borders closed. So he moved the hunt to 2021, still couldn't get in. So then 2023. He's like, hey, it's open. We good to go. And I'm like, all right, like, what days you got available? And he goes, well, oh, I'm booked up for this year. I'm like, dude, I already paid you.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but you know, like, we'll get. I'll make sure I got you.
That's because your money was already spent.
Yeah, yeah, well, it was long gone. Yeah.
So 2024 comes, and it's like, I want to say it's like April. So I email them like, "Hey, we still down for the hunt? Like, you know, I want to get my dates in," and I hear nothing from them.
No. That's so the worst. Like,
it sucks. So then when we get to like July, I email them again, nothing.
No way.
Mid August, he emails me back and is like, "Hey, can you do August 22nd? Mind you, it's like August 17th.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, I can't just up and
go. Someone canceled, probably.
Yeah.
Probably what happened.
I'm like, I can't do that. I was like, how about this? How about you give me my money back?
Yeah.
And we call it even. Well, you know, man, 2019 and 2020 is real hard. And, you know, 95% of my business comes from the lower
states.
Join
the club. And yeah.
So he's like, I'll get you in 2026.
Come on, man. All right. What? All right. Hey, listen.
I'm never going on that hunt.
I think the only way you're going to get money back is to bet people whether or not he's going to call you. Oh my gosh, that's crappy, yeah. Man. Like that just, I hate that. I hate that part of you know how people deal with things. Like, yeah, I get it. You spent my money, but come on, man, you still owe me.
That's just weird. You know? I don't know. I've never been a person that wouldn't pay what I owe. Like, it's just weird to me.
Yeah, people you just think wonder it's okay how many other
to rip somebody off.
You, just, you know, right. That happened to, but.
That's all right. I'll catch him at one of these shows. I'm just going to pop up and I'm like, hey.
Yeah. Remember me?
I have my money. Yeah. Or I'm taking your booth with me.
I'm thinking he's probably not going to be at one of those shows anymore.
I'll get a booth next to him and be like, hey, this guy won't take you on a hunt.
Yeah.
It's funny you said that. Actually, I was talking to a dealer about something today, and they said that a while ago, maybe it's like maybe 2019 or 2017, they became like a distributor. So what they would do is they would like they'd buy from the companies and then they would sell to pro shops. And so they were buying these bows. I forgot, it was like Winchester or something at the time. So they bought like, you know, 100, they buy 100 bows from Winchester and they go into the pro shop, sell them 10 at a time, whatever. So this one pro shop owed them like a ton of money. And they weren't paying him. So him and his partner went in there. And the partner's more like a nice guy, you know. So he goes up to the guy. He's like, hey, you know, we got to get paid. You haven't paid us. And the other guy that I was talking to is like, I just went in there and started taking my bows. He's like, I just started taking them right off the shelf. I went behind the counter. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, these are my bows. Pay me.
You didn't pay?
I got people who want to buy these. So I'm taking them to sell them to someone else. So he took all his bows out. The guy just stood there. Didn't know what to do. He's like, you owe me money for like 6 months. You can just cancel what you owe me. I'm taking my stuff right now. But do that at his booth. Just start taking everything and be like, well, I got to come up with whatever amount of money it was.
Right.
So how's the season been looking for you so far this year?
Oh man, the season, it's been all right. This year I'm more focused on helping my brother get his first archery buck.
Cool.
So
man.
He got married 2 years ago, and his wife, her grandpa, has like 200 acres that he only hunts. And is like, man, I try to get everybody to hunt, but no one comes with me. So my brother was like, well, hey, I'll hunt with you. So
yeah. We've been out. Really?
Yeah. So no one in her family hunts. So he was like, you know, my brother just like, yeah, I'll hunt. So I just happened to move down and he's like, yeah, you can come out and hunt too. So this year we went out.
Awesome.
Because he normally never does any kind of land management. He just kind of, you know, old school cat, goes out, same tree stand, been there for years, sits in the same tree. So this year we went out and we put food plots up. And in Texas, you can have feeders. So put some feeders up and cut some shooting lanes, got cameras up, and man, there's some really nice bucks out there. And he's like, man, you know, I've owned this property for, you know, 40 years and I ain't never seen deer like this out here. And I mean, I don't think it's because of what we did. That just maybe, who knows?
I think you'd be surprised, man. I think you would. A little bit of improvement goes a long way.
Yeah. True.
So we've seen some deer. So the thing is, my brother, he's not patient. He wants to get in the blind and see deer. So I've been having to teach them, like, hey, you got to sit, like, especially this time of the year, all day sits. You know, they're in the pre-rut starting. You just gotta take your time. And so helping him get his deer. We had a nice buck come in Sunday. Like, I mean, it was dark. It was like probably 10, 15 minutes after the shooting light.
Yeah.
And we're getting out the blind and we hear footsteps. And this buck that we've been after like all season long was literally 20 yards in front of the blind, eating out of the corn. We were just like, oh, yeah, wait till he leaves. So we were kind of stuck there for about 45 minutes.
Scare him away. Yeah.
Nope. And then he was nervous. Like, man, we might have spooked him. And then he was on the camera Monday. He was on the camera Tuesday, on the camera this morning. So I'm like, hey, he's daylighting. So
perfect. Like,
this might be the weekend to get him. But it's like, just play the wind, right?
Play the wind. Yep, absolutely, man. And what we've learned too is, I think when we went out this past week for us, it was just like the perfect storm. Every time we've gone out this year, it's been like this, the perfect storm of crappy hunting weather. So I think 3 out of the 5 days we were there was just wind. Just, I think 2 days there was at least a wind advisory going on. Yeah. Like, and then it got warm and it was just horrible, man. But that's it. That's the problem is, like, some people like us, we have to schedule our hunts, right? Like, we are going on these dates and hopefully we can make something happen. Where I would love to be the guy that's like, oh my God, it's like perfect tomorrow morning or it's perfect tomorrow evening. I'm going hunting. I don't have that ability to do that in life.
Yeah. But. Yeah. That's what I do. Like, I told my new boss, I'm like, hey, check this out. During hunt season, if it's a good morning, I'm just going to text you like, hey, I'm not hitting the field today. He's like, I understand.
Yeah. Cool, man. So, that's awesome.
Then I struck out in Colorado this year, elk hunting. It was like the first couple of days were good. I had a cow at 40 yards. I should have took her. And I was like, well, it's the second day. Let's keep trucking. And then we didn't see another elk the rest of the week. So it's like
lesson learned. Yeah, for sure, so, man. Well, tell us real quick where people can find your podcast. Are you on all of the normal channels? Where can people go to find Dreaded Archer?
Oh yeah, I'm on all the normal channels: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, of course, Carbon TV, YouTube. Pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find Dreaded Archer.
Sweet, man.
Nice. Do you guys? I ran into today. I was at the archery shop working on a video for Hoyt there, and I was just walking around waiting for Tim to get done talking, and they had these SKB cases up there. And I'm like, I got to look at this thing. It looks pretty solid. And I opened this thing and I couldn't believe it, man. This bow case is legit.
The hard case ones?
Yeah. It's called I just looked it up because it just came to my head. It's the SKB I series shaped bow case, but the inside of it, I'm trying to bring it up closer so you can see it, Tim. The inside's like hard. It's like nice, like real nice, like hard. You see how everything's like perfectly like, and I can't explain, like, you touch it and you're like, wow, that's like nice.
Like velvet?
No, like a harder, like a, almost like a carpet material, but tough, not like soft.
Like velvet.
No. What's this?
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
Real nice.
$300 bucks, but I tell you. Nice. Yeah, I was just like looking at it going, man, you know, sometimes it's like, because we don't, you know, we used to work with like SKB like years ago.
Yeah,
we still have a bunch of SKBs up there. But the thing about it is you can't work with all the companies forever. You know, like something happens, somebody changes, and you just don't have time to going back and forth. We're not a pro shop, so it's not like I could just have stuff coming in, you know, where I can grab it. But when I was up there, I was like, yeah, I might want to do a video on this case. It's pretty freaking nice. Like, I was like, you just never know what you're going to get. But what I was getting to with this is, like elk hunting, travel, anytime a travel hard shell to me would be like, it's super important to me that a case like this for like an elk hunt that you only get one tag every 50 years, you're going to have to keep your stuff in pristine condition. That's what I was getting to.
Yep.
And
you knock your sight loose and screw yourself.
Yeah. Like the case I use now is a soft case, but, and it's fine. I don't go far, but like if I was going to travel like a serious hunt, like the Illinois, I would definitely get something like this. You know, there'd be no way around it. Because, I mean, you put so much time, energy, and money into these things, you know.
Well, hey, man, are you ever up in Michigan?
Nope, but I can be.
All right, well.
Spring.
I was at Turkey. I was going to do a pop-up trip to Michigan because I've got this obsession with Mitch Rampala. And I'm like, you know what? I want to talk to him. I hear he's still in the area where he live, like in the Trevor City.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go there and just search for him.
Well, hey, man, in June, they have a Total Archery Challenge. I don't know if you have Total Archery Challenge down there where you're at.
South Dakota has one.
Yeah, we got it in Oklahoma.
Is that where you're like, your main picture is from on your website? Because it looks like you're at a Total Archery Challenge event there.
That was at the Airbnb at our in Oklahoma, Total Tech.
Yeah, so there's one right up in that area awesome. In Michigan, yeah. Usually beginning of June.
What are you hunting with this year? What bow are you using?
I'm using my Matthews V3, and I bought a new breed blade, and I've been taking that out too.
I love that blade. Damn bow.
I love Blade's that a damn great bow.
That was one of the best bows I ever made, man. That blade, I wish I still had ours. We used to have one. That thing was great.
Yep, yeah, got out of the pawn shop for $85. That's like, I can't pass this up.
That's a steal, bro. Oh, damn. My God.
Yep.
Damn.
This summer, I think I bought like 6 bows.
You guys, it's a funny story. So we'll get bows, like let's just say like the new breed. We'll get a new breed in or an Athens, right? And when the company goes out of business, like Athens just went out of business, they had like the new technologies put on that bow. You guys would be surprised the bow companies would call me and ask me to have that bow. Like, can we get that bow? I'm like, what do I get? They're like, we'll give you a brand new setup, whatever you want. So I end up giving them away. I never keep, like, the blade. That's gone. It's been gone for years. Because these companies are dumb. They're like, oh, maybe we could take something off there. You know what I mean? They're gone. So now it opens up some doors, you know, in technology, right? See what's on here. Sure. See if that tuning system really is patented. You know what I mean? Like, let's take a peek at it, right?
I found a guy on Archery Talk who, I guess, he inherited all their cams and limbs from Athens. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody who has like that needs parts, like he'll sell them to you. I'm like, how'd you come across all that stuff?
Yeah, because he probably made a deal with him and bought him out. Because the same thing happened with Parker. When Parker went under, there's one guy who carries all Parker. He took all the inventory, basically. They sold it to him. He took all the inventory. There was probably one deal made, you know, so that he could service all the old ones for a long time and make money on it because he can charge more, you know. Parker actually launched a new bow right as they were going out of business called the Elevate or Evolution or Elevate, something like that. And anyway, you can find it online. Like, you can find it on eBay. And the guy, I saw two of them on there. And I said to the guy, I'm like, you know, I'd like to buy that because I thought it'd be cool to do a video on it, being that it was supposed to come out. Yeah. And he wanted like $600 for it. I'm like, I'm not giving you $600 for a bow that's the company's gone. Like, I can never see, oh, well, that's what it costs. I'm like, I'll give you like $100.
Right. You can't even
right? Like, I can't service it. I can't take anywhere. No one's going to buy it off me. It's like, it's literally going to sit here. And all I want to do is make some content on it, saying what Parker was trying to do. That's all I want to do. But it's heavy. Parker struck out so hard at the end. Like, their bows were like 5'2", 5'4". I mean, their weights were out of control. I'm like, you guys, what are you using? Like, solid steel? Like, what is this? You know, like, come on. And that's where you see them go out of. Remember they had the crossbow that cocked itself with nitrogen or something? Mm-hmm. It like had air cylinder in it. They had an air cylinder in it, a big freaking air cylinder. You had to fill up by a professional.
It was like a semi-auto crossbow.
Yeah, and you hit the button, the pressure, the air would pull back the thing because there's so much power. It was crazy, and they did pretty good for a while, but caught up to them over time. It's hard to be just a main crossbow company because that's what they ended up turning into.
Yeah,
you know, compound shooters for
them. Oh man, crossbow's gotten pretty big though. But crossbow's not archery season for you in Texas, is it?
Oh yeah, it's been that way for a long time.
Yeah.
Crossbows
I got nothing against them, but I'm more so afraid of them than I am anything because they just.
I get that.
You should be. Just kidding.
I mean, I've blown up my share of crossbows.
Crossbows are crossbows are at a turning point right now. They are they have flattened at the top. They're coming down, and now as they're coming down, so they went up like as they got legal, they're going spiking. And now they kind of go like this, and now they're already on this way, in my opinion. And what I mean by that is not like 10 points or Wicked Ridge. That's not affected. I'm talking about all the little brands in there, the Chinese stuff that was coming from China, all that stuff. That's at a pass right now, and we're going to see what happens. In fact, I was at the pro shop today. A guy came in with an unknown – I'm not going to say the name of the brand, but he came in with an older of a different brand, and it was made in China clearly. and the string was jacked, right? And yeah. So in order for him, the pro shop looked up the pricing. They're like, yeah, it's going to cost you like $250 with our labor. That's what they said. Like, I don't recommend you fixing this. It's like $250. Yeah. Or just buy a new one. They're like $400 and up. And I told the guys, he's walking by me, I said, Wicked Ridge or 10 Point. So I said to these older gentlemen, I said, just get one of those and then it'd be worth changing your strings. You know what I mean? Like, and I told them, but the string companies recommend every year on the fast bows and every other year for any other crossbow, like change strings and cables, because they take so much power and so much wear and tear on those strings. They don't recommend letting them go longer than 2 years, which is crazy, but it's, you know, you're talking a lot of pressure. Think about when you're hunting with a crossbow, that thing's at full draw the whole 5 hours you're sitting there, 6 hours.
Yeah, the whole time.
Holy, I mean, smokes. That's a lot of pressure, you know? So that's why I said, and like Tim, he's a crossbow hunter. So he likes the 10 points because he can let them back down with the cocker system, you know? And so that's helpful instead of having to fire every single time you finish a hunt, you know? I mean, it's, I don't know.
Right on.
Yeah, that'd be too much. That's why I don't even fool with them. I'm good on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Trey, man, thanks for joining us, dude. And we really appreciate it. We got to have you back on for sure. And, if we can ever get you up to Michigan, that'd be
a fun great time to come out this way. Yeah.
And or hopefully in the field.
Hey, I'm saying, you guys invite me, I'll be up there.
I love it, man.
There's nothing for me to hop on a plane and head that way.
Heck yeah.
We'll get it done. We'll shoot for the spring.
Cool.
Turkey hunt.
Yeah,
for sure. We'll do something fun. In
there. Cool.
Hey, I'm down for it.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks, dude.
Hey, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.